within the veil. What do you think about when we mention veils? I have to confess, my first thoughts turn to wedding veils. You can call me an old romantic if you like. Which, interestingly, I understand from looking at Mrs. Google, only became fashionable really after Queen Victoria married Albert. Various symbolism has been ascribed to wedding veils. A sign of chastity, maybe, but also the sense of the bride hiding her face until she was married. Then the veil is lifted and the bride and groom share a kiss. But as I was thinking about veils, my thoughts went on further. And the realization that faces are often veiled to hide. If you think of the burqa, it hides every part of the woman except her eyes. And then, of course, criminals, whilst going about their criminal business, and of course, when they've been found out and the media is trying to photograph them on their way to court, will often hide their faces so as to not be recognised. And even children, when they've been found out, will often hide their face. There's that sense of hiding shame. In the Bible and reflecting in our readings is this sense of a need to veil ourselves from God. Indeed, it's written that it's sinful human beings look directly in the face of the holy God, they will die. Now, in the temple and in the tabernacle, as the Israelites were travelling in Sinai, there was a veil that separated the Holy of Holies, that place where God said his presence would be in the temple. And that was separated from the rest of the temple by a veil. And only one person, once a year, the high priest, entered into that most sacred place. And he entered to offer penance for the sins of the people. And the bit I love is that he always had a rope tied around his waist in case he was struck dead and needed to be pulled out. But we heard in Exodus reading about Moses, who did meet God face to face, and when that was on Mount Sinai when he was given the commandments, and he didn't die. Because Moses was transformed. His face was shining with God's glory so much that he had to wear a veil to cover the glory from the people. But whenever he went to talk to God, he took the veil off. Now, in the Gospel, we heard the account by Luke of what we call the Transfiguration. Jesus was transformed. His face was changed. His clothes were dazzling white. Now, interestingly, once again, there is a veil hiding a hidden glory. I'm sure you remember when at Christmas we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We sing, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Jesus on this earth was veiled in flesh. It was hiding his glory. Now on the mountain, the veil was removed. And for a moment, those three disciples saw him in all his glory. But then he became veiled again until after his resurrection. And it is true that during his earthly ministry, you could only see the veil, the flesh, the human. He appeared as an ordinary man. And yet even then, many could glimpse through the veil and see the Son of God and recognize him as such. But many, as we know, remained with that degree of blindness and only saw the human flesh, the ordinary man. And in many ways, that has continued to today, when people say, well, Jesus was a good man. No, he was the Son of God. Now, for a moment, I want to go back to that veil in the temple, the veil separating God's presence from the people. What happened to that veil at the moment of Jesus' death? It's all right, you don't have to answer because I'm going to tell you. It split in two. It split from the top to the bottom. Jesus' death marked the end of the separation of God and humankind. And the fact the veil split from the top to the bottom, it was torn open by God himself. So where are we now? Do we still need to wear a veil? Do we still need to cover our faces before God? Do we still need to hide in shame? I think, and I hope you know the answer, is no. And Paul explores this in his second letter to the church in Corinth. It's interesting, many of the new Christians in Corinth were Jews, and so this would have particular resonance for them. He starts with this glorious phrase, "Since we have such a great hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who had to wear the veil to prevent the people seeing God's glory." Paul says, where the Spirit is, there is freedom. When we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. And all of us with unveiled faces see the glory of God as though reflected in a mirror. And Paul also says that interesting phrase, even to this day, minds are hardened. And when folk hear the word of God, the veil is still there. It's only when we turn to the Lord the veil is removed. I don't know if it was your experience, but it is certainly the experience of many, that after deciding to follow Jesus, the Bible suddenly opens up. Perhaps having not made much sense before, suddenly it becomes real. It truly becomes the living book. That is the veil being removed by the Holy Spirit. And it's that strange truth that only when we acknowledge Jesus can we truly see Jesus. I want to end with the wonderful truth Paul shares with us. As we see God's glory, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Think of that moment on Mount Sinai when Jesus was transformed. We are being transformed. Later we are going to sing about that wonderful truth in the hymn of Charles Wesley. Change from glory into glory till in heaven we take our place. As we, with our unveiled faces, look upon God's glory, so we are being transformed more and more into his likeness, till in heaven we take our place.